just form a wall. That's all we do.
All right, Coach, so you're saying we're just going to go out there and form a wall.
I think that's what he's saying.
Like, okay, all right, let's go form that wall then.
That's all they do. Right after we get done forming that wall, I don't know what we're going to do. Welcome to the latest installment, ladies and gentlemen, of your favorite podcast. We are the FCK Podcast, the Fresh Coast Click. This is episode number 14. It is January 8th in the year 2015. It's back to the future year.
Yo. It is. I'm still waiting on my hoverboard skateboard.
Yo, did you know that you could buy a DeLorean? Like, for real. This company bought, like, all of the DeLorean parts that were left over from the production run, and you could buy a new old DeLorean for like 60 G's.
I'll pass.
Yeah, exactly. I don't have any, I don't have a flux capacitor in my garage. I don't know about you.
Mine doesn't work. I've already looked into it for myself.
So we're fresh off of another great interview with Lef from SoCal, NorCal?
Laguna Beach. Laguna Beach. So kind of more SoCal than NorCal.
The Laguna Beach Bully was kind enough to join us, and we're kind of doing things backwards this evening. We recorded our interview with Lef. We'll get to that later in the podcast, but for right now, we wanted to talk a little bit about the NCAA, the men's football playoffs.
Yeah, man, we got the national championship game coming in on Monday. We got the Oregon Ducks and the Ohio State University matching up for the inaugural, playoff championship.
Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
That's right, Coach Mora. We're talking about playoffs.
The inaugural NCAA. I said men's football as if there's a women's football. Anyway, did you watch the Oregon game? Did you get to see that?
I did. And, here's the thing. Props to Oregon, okay? They lit up the scoreboard. But don't tell me for a second that you were watching, if you watched that game. Did you watch the game?
I did get to watch the entire game. I was mildly drunk, but I did get to watch the whole game.
That's all right. Now tell me this. When they went into the third quarter and Florida State was only down by like maybe a score.
5 points. It was 5 points.
It was like
points.
One score. You thought the same thing I did. They're going to make another comeback.
Man, and I was in a house full of Duck fans, and I told them that this was the one day in my life that they would see me root for the Oregon Ducks. I had my orange, or not orange, I had my green and yellow on, man. I kind of felt dirty leaving the house, to be honest. But
you sure you want to air this out on the podcast?
Yeah,
for
man.
Everybody to...
Hey, I want to keep it real for all the FCKers we got out there. But I told them, I said, coming into that game, y'all need to have at least a 14-point lead, 17 points to be comfortable at the half, or else Jameson Company is going to come roaring back just like they did against Lef's favorite, the Notre Dame Irish.
Oh, yeah.
And when they went into the half down 5, I was like, man, I'm scared for y'all. I'm rooting for y'all today, which I never do, but I'm frightened.
I mean, and it's Florida State found themselves in familiar territory, and they had Oregon right there, right where they wanted them. The only problem was that Oregon managed to force, was it four? It was 3 turnovers in the quarter, I'm going to say.
I think it was 5 total turnovers.
5 total, it was
mostly
3
off
in the quarter. And I think 2 were returned for touchdowns in the third quarter. Now, here's my takeaway. I was just thinking about this on the way up here tonight. For all the praise that Oregon gets for putting up 50-plus on Florida State, you can't tell me that you're comfortable with the thought that they're going to get 5 takeaways against Ohio State again. I mean, take Ohio State out of the equation. You can't tell me that you can sit there and comfortably say, yeah, man, Oregon's going to cause 5 turnovers in the national championship game.
No, I think that Florida State actually showed us who they really were. They really are on national TV in front of everyone, every college football fan in the nation. And that is a team that is suspect. They've rattled off, what was it, 19 straight without
20,
a loss?
It was like 27. They hadn't lost in nearly 2 years, man. They hadn't lost in a while.
27 is like damn near 3 years.
Nah, man, because they play like almost 15 games a year. Urban Meyer was just talking about that today, about how he wants to have more scholarships if they want to keep playing 15, 16 games. He wants to have like 15 more scholarships or something like that, just because of the fatigue factor. But they, bottom line is, they won a hell of a lot of games in a row.
Right. And then, that's the, that you're right. That is the bottom line. But, you know, they should have lost at least three games on the schedule this year, one of which was to Notre Dame.
Oh, for sure.
If it wasn't for that phantom call, you know, that PI that never happened, about 15 yards away from the play, you know, that would have been a loss right there. They should have lost to Georgia Tech in the championship.
I agree.
And they should have lost, I can't think of the third one right off the top. But the point is that, man, I don't know who to root for in this national championship. Like, I hate Oregon. I'm not a fan. I think they're soft. I think they play in a weak conference. I think that they have a great offense, a very prolific offense. I don't think the defense is as good as it looked against a really bad Florida State team.
No, they were. I don't think it was a really bad Florida State team. I just want to know what Florida State's offensive game plan was going into that. I don't mean to detract you from your, you know, from what you're saying, but there was a lot of room for question there from how Florida State chose to attack that Oregon defense, knowing that they had their All-American cornerback out for the game.
So for the record, and you're right, Efo was gone for the game. But, and the freshman that played in his place got burnt on a couple of plays. I can't recall them right off the top. But it was 5 total turnovers, 4 of which were fumbles lost, 1 pick.
Yeah, I mean, it's just you can't possibly feel comfortable assuming that that's going to happen again in the national title game. I mean, the and you know what? I don't know who to cheer for either. I hate to almost, I'm at the point now where I hate to root against Ohio State just because they did beat Alabama.
Exactly. I was just going to say, you know, I had outstanding bets that if Bama faced off against Oregon, I had 2 jokers that were going to give me Bama straight up, no points. So I was like, man, that's money in the bank. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that would have been.
Here's what we know. Ezekiel Elliott put on a hell of a performance against a really good defense. So you honestly mean to tell me that Oregon is going to hold Ezekiel Elliott and the Ohio State offense to less than 200 yards rushing? I don't think so.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, it's going to be a good game. I'm really happy how this playoff season, the inaugural season, has turned out. I mean, this has been this has some intrigue to it. I'm excited to watch this game on Monday.
I'm excited to watch the game, but I don't really have a horse in the race.
No, you know, I don't either.
I kind of want Oregon to win just because they haven't won it, you know, and it's when's the last time? Has Oregon ever won a national championship?
They've never won a natty.
Oregon's never won a natty. But I don't want to hear it from all these Oregon Duck fans for the next year.
Well, you know, here's the thing. You know, it's I take solace in knowing that a lot of these purported Oregon Duck fans, like you've mentioned this on the podcast before, they didn't even go to the University of Oregon. So it's like, you know, just bandwagoners, man. You just gotta shake them off. It's like, you know, that's cool, man. You know, it's like when you run into a New England Patriots fan.
Right.
That's like doesn't even know where New England plays, where their stadium is located.
Now, if you can't tell me anything about Bill Belichick and his repertoire of cut-off sleeve hoodies, then you're not a real Patriots fan.
I saw a picture of him rocking, it looked like he was rocking Manprees at a presser the other day.
He was not rocking Manprees.
He was, dude. They caught a shot of it.
Oh, Lordy.
Bill Belichick just does whatever the hell he wants, man.
And he can. He's Bill Belichick.
Yeah. So, anyway, who do you got for the game? Who do you got for the game?
I got, man.
Who you got? Gun to your head, straight up. I'm not talking about any spread or anything. Who is going to win the national title on Monday?
The Ohio State University.
I think they will too, man. I mean, I hate to say it, guys. I hate to say it, Duck fans. You guys are like in my backyard. No, actually, you know what? I take that back. I'm in your guys' backyard.
Yo, man.
We're imports here. We're in y'all's backyard.
It's just surprising.
I just have a feeling that I just don't think it's going to happen. It's going to be difficult at best.
I don't think Ohio State is going to turn the ball over 5 times. I just don't think they're going to do it.
I don't think so either. That's going to be, they run a similar enough offense, like as far as you know, spread style or like run the ball. Cardale Jones is a freaking, he's a load. He's like 250.
That dude's huge, man. He's
an inside linebacker.
He looks like a thick version of Vince Young.
Yeah.
He looks like a black Ben Roethlisberger.
Black Roethlisberger.
Except for without all the rape charges.
There you go. Allegedly.
Right, the rape allegations. But yeah, man, I think Ohio State's going to – they're going to pound the rock, control the clock. Ezekiel's going to go off for, I'd say, I don't know, 200, 220.
You think – he went for what, 230 against against Roll Tide? I saw somebody rocking a not only a Roll Tide license plate frame, but their vanity plate read Bama Girl.
Nice.
So shout out to whomever is rocking that SUV with the Bama Girl license plate and the Roll Tide plate frame. Although about the only thing that's rolling this year is those tears off your face, man. I'm sorry to hear it. I'm sorry to say it.
They kind of hurt my feelings too, man. I mean, no SEC representative in the inaugural playoffs. Come on, man.
First time
inaugural title game.
First time in 8 years. I've got a son that's 9 years old. This is the second time it would have been that the SEC has not represented in the title game. I think it's funny, you know, because as soon as Alabama lost, I was doing the wrong thing and I was on social media that night and I was sitting there thinking, I got to kind of take up for my conference because Alabama was taking fire, you know, as soon as they lost that game. But, you know, I reminded myself, it's the first time in 8 years that the SEC hasn't been in the national title game. So, I mean, seriously, guys, these other conferences need to chill out, man.
Man, I can't even tell you how eager when I rolled into work on Friday, January 2nd, the old dude that sits behind me at work he's a front runner fan. So whoever is the leader in the 12-pack conference, that's his team for the year.
So he's a Clippers fan?
Man, exactly. So he talked up so much leading up to this game, and I did too, you know, because I was confident that Alabama was gonna be in the national championship game and then stomp whoever they had to play between Oregon and FSU. So when I came in, man, I caught it, you know, from all angles. And then again on Monday when Oregon fan, big Oregon fan, and he's a for real fan. He's not a new Oregon fan. He didn't go to University of Oregon like the rest of the Duck fans, but he's been a fan since they had the Donald Duck logo. You know what I mean? Like he's like early 90s fan.
So he was a fan when Bellotti was coaching.
Before Bellotti.
Okay, so Rich Brooks?
This dude's older than me, so...
So okay, so he's a legit fan.
For real. And you know, that's fine. Like, I've been talking a lot of shit all year, so when it's time for me to come in and eat my crow, you know, I should have brought a bottle of hot sauce for all the crow I had to eat, you know, since Alabama just, you know, lost. For the record, Ezekiel Elliott went 20 carries, 230 yards, and 2 touchdowns against Alabama's
run. And look, man, just be ready, Oregon, because that was against a top-flight defense. I mean, I'm not trying to knock Oregon's defense, but I'm just saying, I mean, you just, if you look at it and just take your bias and put it aside, you know for a fact that Alabama's defensive front seven is probably better than Oregon's defensive front seven. I mean, just call it like it is, man.
Exactly. You know what my retort was to all those jokers that were pitching me endless amounts of hell after Alabama lost?
What's that?
I said, you know what? 7 out of the last 10 years, the SEC has been the national champion. So you go ahead and give me everything you got. You know, I'll take it. Enjoy this year because, gentlemen, 70% of the time, it's the SEC in the national championship by a long shot.
And that really is the case. I mean, we'll probably come off as SEC homers, which, I mean, we are. I mean, we have, you know, by birthright, we are SEC fans. But it's just, I mean, if you just look at it, I mean, the SEC has been to the national title game, you know, for 8 years straight. I mean, they won every single BCS national title except for the very last one. They sent both representatives to the national title game 1 year. They produce more NFL talent every single year. And they maintain, more importantly, they maintain more talent in the league. So they're not just drafted on the fact that they are from the SEC. They roster more NFL talent year by year than any other conference. I mean, hey, every now and then, man, you're going to slip. It's been 8 years since they slipped. It's all good. I'm not sweating it. I'm cool, man.
You know the last time the SEC was not part of the national championship game? Matt Leinart, Reggie Bush, and Lendale White squared off against Vince Young. Who was their running back? He wound up playing for the Titans. I can't remember his name right offhand, but it was Vince Young in the University of Texas. 2005, I want to say, 2006. The game was played in 2006. I was actually in Vegas for New Year's that year, gambling on college football, and that's a blast. If you've never been, you should definitely go to Vegas. I highly recommend it for New Year's, just so you can partake in a lot of sports gambling. If you're a guy like me, you like to spend all day in a sports book, trolling back biz, watching college football, it's a good time. But yeah, man, that's the last time. 2005, 2006.
Your running backs for your 2005 national champion Texas Longhorns: Chris Ogbonnaya, who's a freshman, Ramontz Taylor, Selvin Young.
Selvin Young, he was the dude.
Hold on. And a little known freshman by the name of Jamal Charles.
No big deal. Jamal Charles.
Yeah, I heard he turned out all right.
Selvin Young was the dude, though.
That was your man.
He was the hammer.
Justin Blaylock, what up, Atlanta Falcons?
For sure, man. They had a really good wide receiver too.
Let me find that out for you. But yeah, you got to take it all into context, because I received a little bit of flack for it, but it's not nearly as much because of the relatively low key office that I work at. But yeah, just look at it big picture. I mean, dude, it's been 8 years, man. It's okay. We've been there before. We're gonna probably be there next year. Georgia might mess around and be there in the Natty next year. I mean, I'm being overly optimistic because it's the off season.
You got faith in Bryce Ramsey?
I got faith in Nick Bruiser.
Me too, man. But man, how about them numbers that Nick Bruiser put up?
I mean, every game he started, he ran for over 100 yards.
Oh yeah, man. He went to Marco Murray, but
in
the SEC,
1,500 yards as a true freshman. What happens when he gets faster and stronger and more conditioned?
Another year in a world class facility, in a world class strength and conditioning program. Yeah, man. Sky's the limit for Nick Bruiser.
Yeah, I mean, he made everybody essentially forget about Todd Gurley, at least from a productivity standpoint. Your boy, Limus Swede,
was
the top wide receiver that year.
That's
and
why.
Also, Quan Cosby. What a great tandem of name receivers. Quan Cosby, no relation to Bill Cosby, I hope.
And Limus Swede, L-I-M-A-S, which, coincidentally sounds a lot like Linus.
It does.
Nice. So you want to go ahead and roll right into this left call then?
Let's do that. Recap? That's really, I just wanted to get, you said you got OSU to win?
I got Ohio State.
I think I got Ohio State too. I'm going to get on record. I liked Oregon early on. We'll go back and review the game tape from previous episode. I liked Oregon. I liked Mariota to win the Heisman.
Mariota's by far and away the best quarterback in this class. The best college football player, I don't know. And I'm a homer.
Let's hit on that real quick, because that's been real popular around these parts. There's been a lot of talk, and this is just ridiculous, guys. I mean, quit it out. Quit it out. Cut it out, local talk radio. Stop talking about Mariota being possibly the best quarterback of all time, college quarterback of all time. I mean, are you kidding me? Are you serious?
It's hard to argue the point anyway, because everything is going to be subjective. And I don't know, man. College football is hard to say, because you have guys that are just in a system, like the one that Mike Leach is running down in Texas Tech with Amendola and them, throwing for 5,000 yards, going Colt Brennan on them.
Right.
Throwing for 40 touchdowns, crazy numbers. So you can't really compare without, I don't know, it's hard is what I'm saying.
I just, if he wins the national title on Monday, he can get into the conversation as maybe top five. I'll immediately put him in the top five status. As of right now, he's not in the neighborhood. He's got video game type numbers. I mean, he's got on his career, he's got a 10-1 touchdown to interception ratio. I mean, it's absurd. And I don't even want to bore the listeners with going into more advanced breakdowns of that. What's the cause of all these touchdowns? I mean, there is a system that he's playing under. Like you said, Texas Tech, Hawaii, those guys put up humongous numbers. And it doesn't really translate, when you're slinging the ball 60 times to four and five wide receivers, all game long. It just doesn't add up. I mean, I hate to say it, because I really don't think he amounted to much beyond this college career, but Tim Tebow is probably the most accomplished college quarterback of all time. I mean, he's a Florida Gator. I hate the Florida Gators, so I hate Tim Tebow, but the dude produced in college.
Man, and it's amazing when you look back at the
it's
numbers.
It's ridiculous.
So let me just go ahead and throw this out there. I hate Tim Tebow for his time at the Florida Gators. I hate Tim Tebow for that circus of a career that he had in the NFL, but I gotta give it up for, you know, for the work that he's doing in the Philippines, building a hospital out there.
Right.
Yo, salute, man, because, you know, I for real, I was the biggest Tim Tebow detractor out there.
And then you realize that he could technically be considered Filipino because he was
right
there.
You know what I mean? I'm like, dang it.
He's
a decent dude, man. I mean, the dude is doing good things. He's doing big things. So finally, this year, I turned a new leaf on Tebow.
There you go. Good on you, man. Good on you. Let the hate out.
You know, I got hate in my heart, and I let it out for about 5 years. And you know what? I'm going to let that all go. You know, because Tim, you're doing big things, and I appreciate that. But let's go ahead and roll these numbers out. Marcus Mariota, career at Oregon. 103 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. Ridiculous.
Nearly, right? 10-1.
Ridiculous.
Solid 9-1.
31 touchdowns on the ground. So that's 134 touchdowns total, counted for, right? Okay. Tim Tebow. 88 touchdowns to 16 interceptions.
So he's not as prolific of a passer.
As a passer. Which we all knew.
Right.
You know?
We're not going to be mistaken for a throwing quarterback.
Take a guess at how many touchdowns he accounted for on the ground in his career at Florida.
In his career. He threw for 80?
He threw for 88, almost 90.
Man, I know he ran for a bunch.
A lot.
60.
Close. 57.
Goodness gracious.
57 rushing touchdowns. That's what I'm saying, man. That's what? 145.
So, if you want to just look at raw touchdowns produced in
145
college.
For Tim Tebow, 134 for Marcus Mariota, 13 interceptions for Mariota, 16 for Tebow.
And keep in mind, I mean, it's almost funny how they're juxtaposed that Mariota is the running quarterback.
Running, quote unquote. Y'all can't see that until we get this HD camera up in the FCK pod.
Hey,
but
we need to get 100 steady subscribers that we're going to drop the... We're going to drop the camera in the studio.
I laid the challenge out because my brother was saying he wants to put a camera feed in here. And I said, you know what? When we have 100 downloads week over week, 100 consistently, we'll just say 3 weeks. 3 weeks in a row, 100 okay. downloads. And I'm talking all medias. So the Dropbox, the Bitly link that I'm putting out there, YouTube,
some
iTunes,
views.
Stitcher. I'm talking 100 consumptions. So whatever okay. medium they choose, 100 a week.
Let's make it happen, guys. Come on. Come on, FCK Pod Nation. Let's make this happen. I mean, we'll look back at this in maybe 6 months when we got a following. But you know what? This is the time. This is when you're buying into the stock at the ground level right here. You know, and then you could sit there and say, you could sit back and, yeah, this will be a story for the grandkids, you know? Back when I was your kid's age, I tuned into this one podcast out of nowhere, broadcasting from the palatial estate out in Camas, Washington. And these guys blew up.
And your grandkids will be like, what's a podcast?
Man, what the
What the is a podcast? Y'all used to listen to people talk? I mean, we just got that direct import in like Johnny Mnemonic. You just put a plug in the back of the head style.
I know Kung Fu.
So, you know, I don't mean to derail because that's hilarious.
Anyway, yeah,
but,
sorry about that.
I just pulled up Colt Brennan's stats. Let's just say Colt Brennan, right? 131 touchdowns, 42 interceptions in 3 years at Hawaii.
I mean, it just goes to show, guys. I mean, I give all the credit that I think Mariota's due. He's a phenomenal quarterback. Probably the best quarterback. Dan Fouts was a duck.
Was Fouts a duck?
He was.
Okay.
But see,
the only other duck I can think about is Dennis Dixon.
Joey Harrington.
Harrington, right, Joey.
He's arguably the best quarterback that the Oregon Ducks have ever produced. And we're just talking from a collegiate level. You can't compare You can't add in like professional career after the fact. I'm just talking statistically during your time as an Oregon Duck.
During your collegiate years. Because if we're talking pros, then you're going to throw out the next name I'm going to put out here, and it's Tim Couch.
Oh, man. That guy was, yeah, I mean, he did things at Kentucky that you didn't think were, you know, humanly possible.
They weren't as good as I thought. 74 touchdowns, 35 picks.
I mean, bottom line is, and we'll wrap this thing on the whole Mariota debate, no doubt, one of the finest college quarterbacks to ever play, you know, as an Oregon Duck. If you want to tell me top 10, I'll give it without hesitation. Top 5, it gets a little bit iffy. Anything beyond that, I mean, you're drinking too much, you know, too much Duck Kool-Aid at that point. I cannot imagine him being anything better than top 5 right off the top of my head.
Top 10, man. I'll put him in the top 10.
Yeah, top 10, no question. No question about it. I'm going to look up one more dude just to throw a final log onto this fire. While I'm doing that, speaking of college, I mean, you guys will hear it in the interview, but he mentioned he's a Notre Dame fan, so man, he must have been. I mean, he was hurting from the FSU game when they lost on that questionable call.
Man, Notre Dame bed the last half of the season, man, like yeah, four or five games in a row.
They did not look very good.
I'm looking up to see who the Texas Tech quarterback was, and it's not coming up immediately. But the point is that a system, you know, and having the right pieces around you, you know, like you can't. It's hard to draw the comparison in college, harder than it is in the NFL, if you ask me.
For sure. I mean, I think in college there's a lot more. There's a lot more opportunity, like you said, to play in a friendly offensive system. There's an opportunity to play against a tier of competition that's not going to be equal every week or every season. I mean, when you get to the NFL, I mean, everything normalizes a lot there. I mean, you're going to see similar quality teams almost every year. I mean, a parity is a big thing that the NFL has managed to achieve, and so there's not a whole lot of slouches outside of, well, I hate to say it, but outside of the NFC South.
The NFC South was terrible this year, and I'm glad that we didn't limp into the playoffs just to get eliminated in the first round.
No, I agree. I mean, you know, come on, man. I mean, I tell this to anybody that I get to talking about you know, the Falcons. I've been a Falcons fan for 20-plus years. So I'm not in a hurry to make the playoffs. I've seen them make the playoffs. I think the only time that I've ever cried over a sporting event was when the Falcons made it to the Super Bowl in 98, when Morton Anderson hit the game-winning field goal. I mean, that I got emotional on that. You know, from a sporting level, I'd never felt that connected to a team. I mean, so I've been, I mean, bottom line is, I don't care if we made the playoffs this year or not, man. I mean, I've seen playoff runs. I've seen us go to the Super Bowl. I saw us nearly make it to the Super Bowl. What was this? A couple of years ago, like 3-4 years ago in San Francisco.
2012, yeah. We blew a 21-point lead against the Niners.
Yeah, and we were just, you know, we were a Tony Gonzalez target away from getting back to the big game. So, I mean, for me, I'm happy that we didn't make the playoffs. In this case, like I posted on our Facebook, losing is winning. I mean, we're in the middle of an upheaval with the head coach being gone. Our offensive coordinator today signed on. Dirk Koetter is now the offensive coordinator at Tampa Bay. If you hadn't seen that,
I had not seen that.
So we got a new. We're gonna have a vacancy at OC, and they shuffled around the front office. So Dimitrov his role is reduced. Scott Pioli's role in the scouting realm is increased. I won't bore you any further than that, but there's a lot of change. A lot of that was due to the fact that we did not make the playoffs this year.
Let's save some of that. Y'all already know my stance, man. I feel bad for Mike Smith because I feel like he did a lot of good things in Atlanta.
And he did. He definitely did. Never take anything away from Mike Smith.
Somebody had to take the axe, though, man.
Yes,
and unfortunately, you know, Smith, Arthur Blank pretty much is cleaning house. But let's table that and let's save that for another episode of the podcast. Let's get into this left call.
All right.
Here at the FCK Podcast, we're proud to bring another clone onto the show. We have with us in Iraqi Studios, by ways of modern technology, That's right, ladies and gentlemen, Lef from Laguna Beach.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, thanks for having me. Thanks for having me on, you guys. I've been last 2 months. I've been like a big time podcast fan, a podhead. So I've been listening to lots of different stuff. You guys asked me to be on. I was that's pretty stoked. So anyway, yeah, you guys. I think we got in touch with the Jim Rome Show on Twitter, and made a couple calls and took a couple fools down, and yeah, glad to be on the show. So.
Yeah, so that, I think Lef, that was the main the driving force that we had behind wanting to get you as a guest on our podcast. I mean, I'm a daily listener to Rome, and you know, there's definitely a nice segment of us that like to tweet back and forth on the while the show's going on, and it's definitely something that that we wanted to get together and collaborate on. So. In that vein, you definitely came out of nowhere last year and, you know, earned your way into SmackOff 2013. So give us a little background on that, because like you said, you really just kind of came out of left field. How did you become the Laguna Beach Bully?
The Laguna Beach Bully, yeah. I've listened to the show for a while, ever since I got out of college playing summer. I was on the road quite a bit with my first job, and started listening. I was a pretty frequent texter for a little while. I kind of remember what the he doesn't take text anymore. I kind of remember what the you guys remember what the text number was?
I don't remember. I just recently became a Rome listener.
Yeah, so that's like I'm already out of date on one technology resource. I'd called in a few years ago. I talked to Jay Stu and I was going to get on and then didn't get on. But I've got a couple of buddies that listen. We always kind of rap with that jungle language and all that. And then, last year we were watching the NBA Finals, and Tim Duncan did that weird ball hold thing before the game. And it's like, dude, I gotta call in and lob this to Rome and get on the smack off. And it was for the golden ticket. So I called in and I forgot to kind of go over what the heck I should say when he answered the phone. And he's like, "What do you want to talk about?" And I was like, So I was caught off guard a little bit, but I got on, and I think I was inside a Jamba Juice and made that first call, and then ripped the golden ticket inside a Jamba Juice, and then I was all stoked, and then I was a little nervous because I didn't make a smack-off call in about 2 days after that. But ever since then, I was glossed. Yeah, the Laguna Beach Bully from my smack-off call. So.
Yeah, no, that was definitely impressive. And you know, for anybody that was that listened in, you actually I caught where you made it into the year in review. So that was definitely definitely something something to a notch to add to the belt there. So being from, I'm assuming that you're from the Laguna Beach area. Do you have any rooting interest in any of the sports teams from that area?
Actually, I grew up in Northern California, so I'm right outside San Francisco. So I don't have too many. Actually, it's kind of a funny story. So I'll kind of start with this. I'm a big Dolphins fan, and going back to your question before about the Laguna Beach Bully, that all kind of spawned off because I'm a big Dolphins fan, and the whole Richie Incognito bullying thing. I worked into my smack-off call and a couple calls after that. So that's kind of where that totally came from. But anyways, growing up in San Francisco, the 49ers are always, they're ripping off Super Bowl titles, and they're all good growing up. And all my friends at school and everything were 49er fans. So it was a tough go for me. I was just a big Dan Marino fan. And so as far as like Southern Cal sports go, I was gonna bear my... my dad was a big San Francisco Giants fan. We had season tickets ever since I was born. And then in 89, he sold that to one of his company he had and took the year off and went to every single game for the Giants.
Nice.
And even that earthquake game with that, which is pretty cool. But as far as SoCal teams, so I'm kind of a cooler. So I moved out of San Francisco, went to college down here in Southern California, and kind of got off the Giants because they were all 49ers fans anyways, and then they ripped off two World Series, and then I start liking the Lakers and put them into the tank, so I'm kind of a cooler. But Dolphins, Lakers, Notre Dame, so I'm kind of all over the place, and then whoever else I have financial investments in on a night-to-night basis is kind of what I root for.
Of course, that's always a vested interest in a team. I like
exactly.
That we
watching one right now, actually. So
right on, man. I like that we have a shared hatred for the 49ers. We both grew up as Falcons fans.
Are you a 49ers fan?
Negative. We both grew up as Atlanta Falcons fans when we were still in the NFC West. So we received...
When they're in the West, yeah, for sure.
Right. We received a handy ass-kicking from the 49ers every year of my youth growing up. It was awful.
Yeah, so, yeah, I was always... I still am like this, too. I tried to get off it a little bit this year and actually worked out for me, but I didn't make it far out, but I would be, just almost as invested in Dolphins games, I'd be invested in whoever's playing the 49ers, and just to rub it in with my buddies. So that's just kind of how I was rolled for a long time.
So being a Dolphins fan, if you're an NFL franchise, do you sign Incognito knowing that he's a big bully in the locker room?
If I'm the owner of the Dolphins,
another franchise, not the Dolphins,
but any other team. I mean, the dude can play. He was, I think he's been in a couple Pro Bowls with us, and the guy's mean and nasty in the trenches. And that whole thing was, I don't know. I kind of attribute it to the coach, with Coach Philbin. He's a little soft, and he kind of likes to run things. He likes to run things, and doesn't want any. Kind of weird personalities in the locker room, it seems like. So I think got a little blown out of proportion. It was actually kind of cool for me to actually see our team on SportsCenter on getting a little news coverage, so I was cool with everything.
Yeah, I think it was actually kind of funny. I remember when Incognito was making rounds and going to different teams, they were talking, I mean, probably jokingly about having him sign with the 49ers, and then having him line up on defense because Martin was he was with the Seahawks, or still is with the Seahawks.
Jonathan Martin signed with the 49ers.
I have it backwards. That's right. Have Incognito sign with the Seahawks, so then for two games a year they can line up on opposite ends of the ball and just kind of go at it on the field.
I liked Incognito. I bought a jersey after the whole thing happened. but he got a couple workouts this year, but he didn't make it in any other squad this year. But he'll be back. I bet someone'll sign him. He's a good player. So.
I wouldn't mind the Falcons signing him. I mean, our offensive line was shit this year. We could have used him. I mean, but I don't agree with having that cancer in your locker room. I don't like that for team chemistry. But you know, who am I? I'm not an NFL front office guy. What do I know?
I read all the. It was actually kind of cool. I went through all those. I think you posted it last year when all things going on. They put all those text messages out and stuff. I don't know. I mean, it was the same kind of type of stuff we'd say to buddies in college or whatever. And you know, I'm sure most teams have that kind of interaction. And it didn't. Yeah, some of the stuff is a little gnarly, but I mean, it didn't rub me the wrong way or anything like that. So.
Yeah. So let's bring it back to the jungle a little bit. So. There's this growing, like, turf war, of course. You've got the Midwest Mafia, and you've got Mike leading the Mafia there. And then, of course, he was the smack-off winner last year. And then Mark was, the runner-up. And then there's a really strong contingent of clones in, like, the California area. You've got yourself. You've got Mark, who came in second place last year. You've got Brad in Corona. You got Vic, you know, who's won it, you know, in recent years. How do you feel about the other guys there in your region? I mean, what if even like a, you know, even a more controversial guy like Trapper?
Yeah, don't worry, dude. I keep a full scouting report. I break down video of all these guys every week. But all the guys in everyone's pretty cool. I've met a couple of the guys that you talked about. I've met a couple of the guys that have that call into the smack off every year, but. It's kind of funny. Like I don't know anything like Midwest Mafia and California Mafia. I don't really subscribe to any of those per se. But it's kind of funny. I was thinking about it and just kind of the geographical difference of everybody. We don't have any like good East Coast callers, and I was kind of thinking what's up with that. But I don't know. I was thinking maybe they we need a couple of that bad blood out there. They take stuff pretty seriously. You know, Rome. You know how the. How the language goes and making fun of stuff and taking, you know, making stuff kind of light, but Yeah, I don't know. Those guys in the East Coast, I don't think they take stuff as lightly as we do maybe in California and the Midwest. But Trapper, yeah, he's all right. I don't know. I was thinking about having him over to do a McCarthy as an anti-communist, maybe a live nude model of him. But I don't know. He's all right. He's got his brand, and whenever he calls in, I think people listen. They like to crack on him, so it's all good. But Mark's pretty good. I was listening to his call live last year in the SmackDown for 10. I thought his call kind of sucked, and he got second place, and I was like, what the hell? And then, but listening back, I was like, dang, he was in a hard spot, and he got off some good shots. So after listening back to it, I was like, dang, actually, that was a pretty good call.
Yeah, the way that he was able to scramble back after Mike came in and sniped it with Shale on the, you know, on the tandem call. I mean, that was when Shale picked up on the other end of that call. I mean, I was probably like what everybody else was doing. I mean, I was just, I didn't know what to think. I was like, this can't really be happening, right? I mean, that was nuts. And for Mark to come back and actually like recompose and actually get his call off, I mean, that was definitely good on his part.
Yeah, it was rad. I was little insight from my base camp to my call. I had I made my first call. We had like the gold ticket call, and then I was in a week later. So as you kind of go, you get a little more comfortable and putting your phone on sleep mode or whatever. Because my first call, I got someone calling in to me, kind of like ruins your flow a little bit. But so for the snack off call, I actually put in. I have two little like fences, and then my walkway, my front door, so a little tape across it. With wet paint on it, so I wouldn't get any of my UPS guys coming through or anything. But after I made my call, it was all good. I took it down, and then during Mike's call, I heard his first part, and then I had a neighbor come by because I was drinking beers before I made my snack off call. So he came by to have a couple beers, and then knocked on the door right kind of when Chael came on, and then we were kind of talking. I got back to listening, and I was like, totally done. I was like, what's going on? Because snap tails in the phone. So I almost kind of missed it live, but kind of picked it back up and figured out what was going on. So that was a pretty rad call.
It's definitely, I'm looking forward to this year and seeing how the West Coast strikes back, basically, because it's been a nice back and forth. It's definitely something that's, you know, it's really picked up a lot of steam talking about the smack off in the last couple of years. And like you said, it's definitely nice to have, you know, kind of have that bad blood between, the California callers and, you know, in this case, basically just Mike. You know, I mean, there's like really, I mean, and to be fair, I mean, Lance is out there too. And I like to, I mean, we had him on the podcast, you know, previously, and, you know, I've gone back and forth with him on Twitter, several times before too, but it's definitely not as, strong of a crew, I would think, in the Midwest compared to the overall, you know, amount of, quality callers that's, coming out from the West Coast. That's for sure.
Yeah, it seems like, I mean, Jim's from out here and had his show from out here for a long time, so I think he just naturally gets a lot of followers out here. But yeah, I was actually talking about there's the Walrus out in Green Bay. We were kind of going over on that, you were talking about the Year in Review show, and he put a poll out on Twitter, who's Rookie of the Year between me or him. But yeah, there wasn't too much new blood last year, so I'm hoping we get some new callers in this year. There's been a couple good guys, but we'll see.
Yeah, I like the Walrus. Who was it that somebody had called in? I want to say it's Joaquin. I don't know where he's from. Is he from Phoenix? I'm thinking Joaquin Phoenix. That's where I'm drawing the correlation.
Yeah,
but wherever Joaquin's calling from, he. He kind of outed himself on when he actually called in. Like, he's got that great MMA brand, but then when he called in, it was like, nah, you know what? We need to stay in our own lane there, you know. And he just needs to stick with the emails on, you know, on his MMA smack.
Yeah, it's not the easiest thing to do. Like I said, my first time calling in, I didn't really know what to expect, and all of a sudden you're on the air and you get caught. Like I said, I was in the Jamba Juice, like picking up an order, and you're all kind of just frazzled a little bit. So it's kind of tough.
What were the cashiers behind the counter at Jamba Juice? Were they looking at you funny because you're here on the Smack Off live from their location?
Well, no, I was on. I forget there was an interview. I'm trying to remember who it was. It was a Emmanuel Sanders or something. Whatever. It was like any interview, because you're on hold and you're listening to whatever's going on the show live time, because I think they play it in delay or whatever. So I was listening to the interview and I was like, oh, I got plenty of time or whatever, because usually goes to commercial, I think, after. And then so I was waiting for my banana berry smoothie, and then he goes to me, and then I'm just sitting in Jamba Juice. I'm kind of like cowering in the corner trying to get away from like the sounds of the blender and all that. So nice. I was a little bit of a friend who kind of called, but I did, and I heard it back in a year in review, and it's like, damn, I got nervous.
For sure. So you said you were a big Giants fan growing up. I think that's dope that you and your dad got to go see every single home game. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So we had talked about on a previous episode of the podcast that the Giants have pretty much reached dynasty status. You know, 3 out of the last 5 years, World Series champions. What's your take on that?
I mean, I definitely think so, especially this time, and especially in baseball, you can kind of build what you want with money and all that. And I mean, I know the Giants are really these days top in what they're spending for salary and all that. But I think three and five is definitely would be considered a dynasty. And it's weird because they don't have, you look at other dynasties lately, like I guess you'd call the Lakers one, early 2000s. That was kind of the same team. The Patriots, for the most part, early 2000s, kind of the same team. But the Giants, outside of two of the three World Series, they, like, you know, Lincecum was coming out of the bullpen. They had totally different lineups. So it's kind of weird and kind of cool to see, three kind of different rosters win in their even years. Every other year they won the title. So it's kind of cool. It's different. I don't see them doing that again. But we'll see.
So you're not too confident in them making another run at it next year, then?
No, they don't do well in odd years. Yeah, they only win even years. Yeah, every other year last year was a good one. So
it's a little superstitious of you there, Lev. One of our Midwest correspondents is a huge Royals fan, and do you see the San Francisco Giants going the way of, and I haven't looked up their current payroll, but do you see them going the way of the Kansas City Royals and kind of losing a lot of what got them to the series next year with incoming salaries and all that?
As far as just not spending as much money, you mean, kind of like Moneyball type thing?
Right.
I don't think so. I mean, they've seen success in what they've done. They've always been top 5 or 10 salaries. I mean, across the Bay, you got the Oakland A's, and obviously, you know what they do, but the Giants are always kind of topping salary with the new stadium. They get good attendance to the games, and they always spend some money. So I don't think so.
Yeah, I was actually surprised. Like we were talking about the Giants in a previous episode, and it took me off guard just how high up in salary they were at, because it doesn't the thing about their roster structure is they don't have any of like these huge name guys. I mean, you could argue that Bumgarner is now like a household name, and maybe Lincecum was a few years ago, but there isn't just like this like murderer's row type of roster where you just have like tons of huge names up and down the roster. Yeah, like the Dodgers, there you go.
Yeah, I mean, you've seen that though with the Dodgers. You see some of those Yankee teams kind of circle out, and then you see those small ball teams like the Royals last year. That, you know, the A's are always kind of in the mix. It's just manufacturing runs and good pitching, you look at the Giants. Good pitching between, you know, Kane didn't, he wasn't in this year, but Kane, Lincecum, Bumgarner, those are all guys in farm systems. So that's stuff that you can kind of cultivate just by good drafting and getting those guys up early. I think Bumgarner pitched in the 2012, I don't remember if he pitched in 2012 or World Series or not, but yeah, I mean, he's definitely household name now. So.
Yeah, that's for sure. I was, the argument that I had about the whole, you know, three titles in 5 years and is that dynasty status was that in the two off years, the Giants didn't even make the didn't even make the playoffs. So that was always my argument against that, that, you know, while, you know, I can't consider a dynasty because they had, I mean, clear drop-offs every other year. I mean, I'm a Braves fan, so I saw the kind of the opposite end of that, where we won the East and got to the World Series so many times over the 90s, but we had one World Series to, you know, to show for it. So, I mean, they get talked about as a dynasty all the time, like throughout the 90s, but I kind of wish we had one more World Series than the one from 95.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of mentioned it earlier that it's kind of a testament to what they're doing and how they're, like I said, cultivating their farm system and then signing the right guys. And like I said, each title is a completely different roster, up and down, even the pitching staff too. So, I mean, it's, you know, the only kind of constant it could be Bochy. I mean, Bochy was there for all three, and I can't think of, I'm trying to think of anybody on the. What's his name? The catcher was there for all three titles, right, Posey?
Yeah.
But any other constant? I don't think there's any other person on the offensive side. Maybe Brandon Belt was there in 2010. I'm not sure if though. But that kind of testament, just winning culture, coaching. I think is a big deal, and just not in baseball, but in all sports, that usually seems like it's the constant. So.
The only other name that comes to mind for me is Sandoval, but I couldn't remember if he was there for the first
one. Right. Yeah, you're right about that. He was there in 2010, too.
I don't know. I was just trying to think if he was there. I'm going to look it up real quick. Stat guy, can you check that for us?
No, for sure he was there.
Is Sandoval, is his contract expiring next year? When is he due?
He's in Boston. I believe he signed with the Red Sox.
Yeah, oh, right.
He took the money. He took a big money deal to go to Boston.
He was good. I've got a good story about him actually. So I have my brother-in-law, my wife's brother, played in the Yankees organization for about 8 years, and I have a good story about him in Rome, kind of in a second. But he always said the best guy he ever played against in minor league ball was always Sandoval. But he's got a kind of a cool story. Speaking of that, he went to Santa Barbara, like Rome did. He had testicular cancer and got drafted when he was going through chemo and all that by the Yankees. And right after that was, Jim had him on the show, and he did a full-on on interview on the Rome show, and then he was in the Yankees organization after that, beat it, played 8 years. So that's kind of a cool little Rome connection. And then he always said Sandoval was the best guy he ever played against in minor league, which is kind of cool, so.
Nice. That's really cool. That's a nice little, hidden connection there between, several parties there. One thing that I'm taking from this interview, and we took this from, after we did the Lance interview too, is it's really cool to be able to kind of peel the layers back and actually get a chance to, you know, to talk to Lef as a sports fan. You know, I mean, to hear you like break down the Giants roster. I mean, when we talked to Lance, he was sitting there talking about, the Kansas, roster and like the all these different, you know, little nuanced things that, you know, that real fans are picking up on. And it's something that doesn't get translated over, on Rome's show. I mean, for obvious reasons. I mean, there's definitely there's different things, you know, that we all do, you know, on that show that we don't necessarily purvey, on a regular basis. It's refreshing and kind of cool to, to see the other side as opposed to what we just, you know, see and hear on the on the show.
Yeah, so I mean, I've met a couple of the guys, like I've met Mike and Greg in Sun Valley, a couple of guys off of Twitter and all that. They go to a lot of those guys went to the to see Rome's horse race and yeah, you talk a little scud about people that everyone, I think, listens to the show for the same reason. It's just kind of cool, and it's almost a little fraternity, and it's fun to talk smack about each other and all that, but it's kind of cool. It's everyone so far has been pretty cool, and I enjoy it, so.
So we had Lance on as in a long-form format, kind of like we've got you going right now, and we wanted to give you space to respond to Lance's Sadak attack. In any way that you choose, in any way that you see fit, this is your platform. So have at it, Lef.
Yeah, you know, yeah, I saw it come over on Twitter. I listened to the episode and heard Lance and all that. Lance is funny. Like, I don't even know who Neil Sedaka is, or the Platters, or whatever song he sings. I'm not bumping that one. I'm rolling down PCH here. But yeah, Lance, yeah, I got a little message for Lance, and I heard him crooning those sock hop love tunes at me, and kind of half expected him to ask me to go steady. By the way, he's trying to get that full version out, even though Rome wouldn't let him on. But no, I'm glad you guys let him on. I can't have the guy showing up in my house, like Fiddler on the Roof, trying to sing me some songs. But Lance, good, if you're out there listening, I know you established a brand of general annoyance and perseverance, but can't help but think you got one of those perseverance posters in your office. But by the time you stay on hold on Rome Show, I'm guessing it's not in an office. But either way, I know you got one of those posters, and you know what I'm talking about, Lance, where they got the turtles laying their eggs on low tide, seeing perseverance below, or the salmon swimming upstream, or maybe even a Caucasian in an NBA jersey. But Lance, dude, I couldn't think of a better example of one of those lame-ass posters than one with you on it, your bald powder dome, and that creepy smile of yours that makes John Wayne Gacy look trustworthy. You got your man fupa tucked so tight in those Charlie Weiss khaki shorts. You got a phone stapled to your head, the Sedaka shrine in the background, and the word perseverance right below. Because I can't think of a better sports example of not giving up than that. Jimmy V thinks your will is strong. Ron Jeremy thinks you got a high motor, Lance. But dude, in the jungle, when you're that salmon swimming upstream, dumb enough to take the bait from Rome and keep calling, or you're just going to be serving some dill sauce and a lemon wedge on the side for the plates for the big boys, all right? So Lance, keep my name out your mouth and your little doodles, all right? I enjoy coming on and talking with these guys on the FCK podcast, but Lance, I don't like wasting my time on you. Next question, boys.
This guy. You know, I just wanted to let you know that here at the FCK podcast, we've actually got the motivational poster with the kitty cat hanging from the branch that says, hang in there. So I take offense to your comments, Lev.
I had to go full Rome tick on him for you guys to respond. But I heard a song on here, so that'd be funny.
Well, that's tight, man. We appreciate the drop there. We'll definitely run this out to Lance as soon as we get this get this all pressed, and we'll see what he has to come back with. Speaking of California, I mean, I didn't realize that you guys like to get together like that. If anytime we're ever in the area, because we've got family down in Mid-Cal. So I'm going to try to get out there and try to see you guys, man, because I didn't realize that there was a nice little thing going on, between.
Where's Mid-Cal? Where are you talking about?
Oh, we have, our parents live in, just east of Fresno. So it's out there just in, so it's definitely. Go ahead.
I went to, I know the Central Coast a little bit.
Nice. Yeah, it's, we try to get down there like once a year and just do the family thing. So, we'll definitely try to get out there and try to make something happen. And, just to get to know and just to get to see some of these guys, it's definitely, I mean, we're out here, isolated out here in the Northwest. So there's really not a whole lot of, a lot of clones out in the area. I think we had one guy that was like a local radio. He does like a local radio thing. But I think he moved to the Bay Area. I want to say if it wasn't this year, it was sometime late last year. Chad in Portland. He was like a long. He called like several years ago, and then he got his own show on the local station, and then he stopped. He stopped doing the Rome thing. But I think he actually transferred down to the San Francisco area. So, but good on him. I mean, we got the beauty of the Portland metro area where we're based out of is we've got one pro sports team. Well, we have the NBA franchise, and then we got the MLS Timber franchise. But we have basically one mainstream sports team, and we have two sports talk radio shows on stations on the air. It's kind of weird in that sense, but everything about Portland is generally weird. So
yeah, I don't want to date you guys when you're recording. Live Portland second half
betting
against the Heat right now.
Right on, Lef. I'm going to give you a chance here to go ahead and plug whatever social media outlets if you want to go ahead and toot your own horn here. This is your space to do that.
Yeah, no worries. I'm trying to think of my Twitter handle. It's not all the time. @the_leff at Twitter. That's kind of all I got. I don't have anything outside of that. But that's me.
Well, right on, bud. We appreciate you carving time out of your schedule to stop by on the FCK podcast, and we look forward to working with you in the future.
No worries, guys. Thanks for having me on. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Take care, Leff.
Later.
Man, big shout out. Big shout out to Leff for coming on and being the second member of the clones to come on. Let's see who else we can get, man. I like to talk about the fact that a lot of the Cali guys like to hang out. I'm gonna try to make that happen. We should do that.
Word. I was gonna say, next time we're making the drive down to Mid-Cal, we should stop by and try to link up with the NorCal fraternity they got going on.
Yeah, for sure. I'll just drive off to the bay.
We'll buy y'all a round of beers and chicken wings. Y'all pick the spot.
Let's make it happen. So that goes shout outs to you, Mark in Hollywood. Vic and NoCal, what up, man? I mean, let's try to get together. I mean, I'm even down. I mean, Trapper gets a lot of flack, but he's actually a pretty interesting cat. I'd like to kind of link up with him too and talk, maybe not talk politics, but he seems like a pretty cool cat to chop it up with as well. So let's make that happen. You know, let's get a road tour going on here. Let's have the FCK pod do a Cali connection sometime, maybe in the summer.
Maybe we could listen to nothing but Mac-10, Ice Cube, and Dub C. A little West Side Connection the whole time we're down there.
Yeah, just and then once we get into the Yay area, it'll be nothing but some E-40.
Right? A little hyphy.
For sure.
Shout out to 2005.
Yeah, but yeah, for real, big shout out to you, Leff. We appreciate you getting on. We hope to get together with you in the future. Man, let's talk some Notre Dame football. You know, let's talk about the heartbreak that happened against Florida State. It's going to be... not playing in the national championship game, but they did their best against Oregon. Well, for two quarters anyway.
Yo, let's talk about this Zaire kid that's coming up. I didn't even know he was going to start. I thought Golson was going to start, but this Zaire kid looked pretty legit.
To be honest with you, man, I don't follow Notre Dame football at all. So I will have to do some homework before we do that call. But
I'm a peripheral fan. My roommate, my brother from another mother, is a huge Notre Dame Irish fan. So I watch my fair share of Notre Dame games over the years, one of which was the Monte Teo game. I was rooting for Alabama that day, so you can imagine how that turned out. But
That's the only Notre Dame game that I really watched was when Notre Dame got sacrificed to Alabama.
Word. Let's try to get another Click affiliate, man. I want to talk some NBA on this. The Hawks are kind of a big deal right now.
I was gonna say, man, let's put out the FCK signal. You know, who wants to talk some basketball?
Who wants to sex Mutombo? Not in my house. At your house. I'm waving the finger right now. Y'all can't see it, but I'm waving.
He's doing the finger.
Finger
wag. He's he just blocked a shot.
Dunk on him.
Mutombo, what if there's three defenders in the paint?
I dunk on him. I dunk on all of them.
He's got some African in him, and I don't say that in a bad way.
Look, man, for real though, let me compose myself.
Appreciate that, Danny.
For real though, Danny Ferry, where you at, man? Get off that paid administrative leave. We got some business to take care of. We got the trade deadline coming up in February, and the Hawks are looking legit.
Yeah, we just beat Memphis.
Just beat them by like 10 points.
Man.
Now, hey, you know that was Tinder night at the Phillips?
Ooh, nice. I like
it. I have no idea what Tinder's about other than you could just post a bunch of pics on there, and that's about
right,
it.
Right, right.
But other than that, man, yeah, we need to get a Click member. We need to get some kind of a correspondent. And let's chop it up. Let's talk about some NBA. Let's talk about some Hawks, man. The Hawks have the best record in the East right now.
Yo, man, we were ranked number one on ESPN's power rankings since the first time that we were ranked number one in ESPN's power rankings since Mount Mutombo was an Atlanta Hawk.
I read something about this is the highest that we've been ranked, or this is the, like, we're on pace to win the most games, like 60-something games. This is the highest, 57. This is the best we've been doing since the year that we... traded Dominique Wilkins.
Right, man. That's the year that we won't speak. That's a trade that we don't speak of in this house. But anyway, stay tuned. We got some big things coming. We got some big things planned for 2015. So make sure you tune in. We're about to be on iTunes and Stitcher. You know, what else? What else?
I mean, I hope that when you guys rang in this new year, that one of your resolutions was not one of those corny ones that you're going to break in a week. If you haven't broken it already, please tell me you didn't sit there and resolve that I'm going to go to the gym, or I'm going to jog, you know, every day after work, or I'm going to do this and that. I hope that you guys made a resolution that, man, I'm going to subscribe to this podcast right
for
here.
For reals.
I'm going to follow these cats on Twitter. I'm going to follow. I'm going to like. I'm going to hit them with a like on that Facebook page. And then I'm going to keep an eye out for them on subscribe to on YouTube, and then get ready for this, you know, to start following them and downloading these guys every, you know, every episode on iTunes and Stitcher. So do that.
For real. Yo, you know, Giada De Laurentiis slid through my DMs.
Oh, really?
She's a listener. Oh, so really? Check it out. Just saying.
We already kind of hit that on Facebook.
Right. Celebrity influence.
Hey, I think our attorney's on the line. We gotta cut. We can't talk about that any further.
Yeah.
But listen up, y'all. For real, follow us on Facebook. We are facebook.com/freshcoastclick, and that's KLIQ. Follow us on the Twitter. We are at FCKPOD. And that's about it, man. Stay fresh, y'all.